I'd like to turn you to two passages in the Bible. And may we take our Bibles, please, to the Gospel according to John. Turn to chapter 18. And then the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16. Beginning with verse 33 of John 18, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this of thyself, or didst others tell thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew, thine own nation? And the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now turn over to Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. Jesus Christ said, that everyone who is of the truth will recognize the truth and come to him. And when Pilate asked him if he was a king then, Jesus says, Thou sayest it, which just means yes. I am, and to this end was I born, and for this purpose came I into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. He also explained to Pilate that my kingdom, it's his, is not of this world. Else he said, my servants would deliver me from your hands and I wouldn't be in the circumstance I now find myself. But my kingdom is of another world. My kingdom is a kingdom which my Father has put in my hands. My kingdom is one which was planned and designed before the foundation of the world. And now he says, here I am, a king, and I'm here to bear witness to the truth. Those of us who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ accept this. He is a king. And we don't doubt it. We don't question it. He's a king in his own kingdom. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. As of the present moment, he sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and all power in heaven and earth is in his keeping and in his hands. And this is the one whom we seek now to serve and to honor. I think that a message on Palm Sunday, and I think that a message on Easter Sunday from a Christian pulpit should bring each one of us face to face with our personal responsibility to this one who is King on Easter Sunday and King on every Sunday. He is the King and the Head in His church. And these two passages that I have associated together here for you bring first the fact that Pilate had nothing against him, that Pilate heard him say that he was a king, and then we have these precious words of the Lord Jesus that he who is of the truth will come to him. And then we have this magnificent text which he gave to his disciples after the great confession of Peter, and he spoke to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And then he proceeds to develop all that's involved in this complete commitment of the individual to Jesus Christ. And he says, if any man will save his life, he's going to lose it. But any man who will lose his life for my sake, he will find it. And then he proceeds to develop the other glorious thought. What is there that you can lose? He said, suppose you lose your soul. Suppose you possess all that this earth has to give. What profit is that? If a man should gain the whole world and then lose this soul which God has given unto him, or what would you give in an exchange or in a trade for yourself? And we have here the demand of the King of Kings for the devotion of your soul. You have here the requirements of citizenship in this kingdom, which he says is my kingdom. And I'd like to take now what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ sets here as the conditions of real fellowship and of real discipleship, and let us look at it together and see where you and where I fit in, and how we measure up in the presence of this one who says, "Thou sayest, I am a king." In the first place, our Savior says that if we would come after him, we must first deny ourselves. In the second place, if we would come after him, we must take up our cross. And in the third place, if we would come after him, then we can follow him. You can't truly follow the Son of God until you get rid of self. You can't truly follow the Son of God until you have a cross to bear. But when you've eliminated self, and when you have that cross which is upon you because of your identification with him, then you're in a position to follow him and to enter into an understanding and a fellowship in his service which only the Son of God can give to you. Now let's take this great text in the light of the claims and the demands of Christ upon us. Who's making this test? Jesus Christ. If you want to follow me, sir, if you want to come after me, sir, I have certain conditions that I'm laying down. If you're going to bear my name, if you're going to be a part of my kingdom, if you're going to identify yourself with the church of Jesus Christ, I have certain things I'd like to set before you that are necessary for you. Now, don't misunderstand as I open this text for you. Jesus Christ is here speaking to his disciples. He's not speaking to the ungodly. An ungodly man can't even see the kingdom of heaven. You have to be born again before you see that kingdom. But there are an awful lot of people that are citizens of this kingdom that aren't doing very much about following the king. And there are a great many people who've met the term so far as salvation is concerned. You've been saved. But, beloved, you are not following the Lord Jesus Christ on the terms to receive the blessing and to give to him what he asked in his service. So the first thing he says is that we must deny ourselves. Isn't it interesting that Jesus Christ starts with ourselves? He doesn't put the cross on us first, he puts the cross on us second. He puts his first great demand upon you. And it has to do with this one little letter that we have so much trouble with. I there. I want this. This is my will. I'm going to do this. Everywhere it's I. And yet you can hear the Apostle Paul crying out, Not I, but Christ. And before Christ can move in and become the king of your life, you've got to get rid of this I of which he speaks in the Scripture. Now there are many, many references that our Savior makes to this. He tells us that if a man is going to serve him, if a man is going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he must follow him with his whole heart, not with just a fraction of our heart. These references are involved, for instance, in what he says about his kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not your selfish desires. Not even the ordinary wants that you know that you have need of. Why, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about the birds of the heaven, the fowls of the heaven have their nest, and the Lord takes care of them. He speaks about the lilies of the field and how they flourish, and the Lord takes care of them. And, beloved, the Lord God Almighty is able to feed you and to clothe you and to provide for you. He knows that you have need of these things, but he says you've got to take this I of yours and put it down. And you must take that place where I belongs and put in it the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he's speaking of here. And Jesus Christ says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now you come to this matter of what we call self-denial. There's so many, many things that you and I do that we just waste our time. There's so many, many things we spend our money at. We're just throwing our money away. There's so many, many things in which you and I are involved constantly. It's I this and I that. And if somehow or other we could just take that I and bring him down to the place where the Lord Jesus Christ would have us put that I. A lot of the things of this old world about us that appeal to us, that have the glitter and the glamour, and we spend our money and our fortune for, a lot of those things would have no appeal to you and me any longer. And we would begin to consider what we can do when the eye is gone. You can take some of these great texts, you find them a little over in the epistles, you hear the Apostle Paul saying, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. But you can hear the Apostle Paul making one further step. When you come to the great exposition of the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul speaks about the fact that if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, he says, what's the use of me going out and fighting with the beast in Ephesus? And then he turns and he utters these magnificent words. I die daily. I die daily. Every time he got up in the morning, he had to take his eye and put it down somewhere. It's something that you don't do just once or just twice or just occasionally. It's something that you have to do every day that you live. And Jesus Christ said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And that denial, that bringing self down, that bringing self to the place where Christ can come in and the will of the Son of God will reign in your life, that place is the place where the service and the following of the Son of God begins. No man can serve two masters. You can't serve yourself and serve the Son of God at the same time. You must eliminate self, and you must usher in Jesus Christ
And you must be willing to say at all times, not my will, but thy will be done. Now what happens when you get rid of I? What happens to him when you have laid him aside? Jesus Christ comes in and takes the throne in your life. That's what happens. And then it is that you can begin to understand what the Lord Jesus Christ meant when he said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And the man who puts himself away permits the Lord Jesus Christ and his commandments to step in and take control in his life. Now it's right here, beloved, that the greatest lesson of Christian service needs to be learned. This is the struggle that so many of us have. Yes, you died yesterday, but you came back to life again this morning, and you're not dead yet. And when the Apostle Paul says, I die daily, he's constantly struggling with these things that come upon you and me, whereby we're tempted to put ourselves and our desire and our will above that of the Son of God. And you cannot do it if you're going to be a servant in his kingdom. Well, somebody asked me, but Pastor, does that mean that you're not concerned about these other things? Oh, no. The Bible's just full about the fact that the Lord expects you to look after yourself. The Bible expects you to go out and work, and the Bible expects you to make a living. And if a man doesn't take care of his own that God's given him, the Bible says he's worse than an infidel. No, it doesn't mean that when you deny yourself, you just sit down, hold your hand, say, I'm denying myself, and that's the end of me. It doesn't affect you that way. When you get the denial of what the Lord Jesus Christ says, you have come very much alive. And you've become very much alive in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, he who will lose his life for my sake, you'll find it. And you have something to live for, not I, it's Christ you live for. You have something to die for, not I, it's Christ you're going to die for. And you don't understand the denial of what the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about when you say, I deny myself, I just quit. No, you do not quit. You will never quit, because when Jesus Christ comes into your heart and becomes the first one, and he takes the place of I, and you can say it is not I but Christ, then everything that Christ desires and everything that Christ wants and everything that Christ has commanded his church to do, you want to have a part in. You want to participate in. You want to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. My, how I'd like to take this and develop these different angles of this beautiful thought. But I'll tell you, beloved, if you want to live, you die and let Christ live in you. And you will live forever. Well, you look at this passage. And in the second place, our Savior says, let him take up his cross and follow me. He says his cross. He doesn't say my cross. Did you know there's no one anywhere that can bear the cross of Christ but Christ himself? Only Christ could bear his cross. He was sinless. He had the sins of the world laid upon him, and he died for it. And it's so beautiful the way he puts it. He never, never asked anybody to bear his cross. He's never asked anyone to bear it. He alone bore it. He alone paid the penalty. His cross is altogether different in its context and its meaning from any cross that you could ever bear. And don't confuse your cross that he asked you to bear was the cross that he bore when he died on the cross of Calvary. You can't die for anybody's sins as a vicarious sacrifice like he did.
Your death won't atone for anybody else's iniquity. Only the death of the Son of God could atone for the iniquity of the race. And he died and he paid that penalty, and that's his cross. So let's not get our crosses mixed up. And let's be sure we understand the cross that he's asking you to bear. Well, what is it? What is the cross he's asking you to bear? Come after me, come after me. Well, let me give you three elements that are in that cross. The first is the terrible ridicule and the awful abuse that's heaped upon you because self has died. Who heaps it upon you? Everybody that delights in self. Everybody that's living for self. Everybody that thinks only in terms of self. Everybody that's concerned about the affairs of this world, they look at that person and say, she's the most peculiar woman I ever saw. He's the most peculiar neighbor you ever saw. You ought to see these people. They get up on Sunday morning and go over there to the church where Dr. McIntyre is preaching. You ought to see the way they live during the week. They won't do the things we do. They're different. And the world about it heaps all manner of ridicule and abuse upon you because you've crucified yourself and you're serving the Son of God. That's a part of a cross. The world doesn't understand you. Why expect them to understand? Nobody can understand you until they understand you're Christ. It's not until men and women come over to the area where you found the fellowship of the kingdom of heaven. My kingdom, the Lord says, is not of this world. And you have to get into that kingdom. You have to understand what that kingdom is. You have to see the sainthood of it and the blessing and the fellowship of that kingdom. And once you see it, you understand. The world doesn't understand it. Can't expect them to understand. The natural man receiveth not the things of the kingdom of God. The natural man doesn't understand the ways in which a Christian lives by faith. They can't understand the way in which we pray and talk to God in heaven. They can't understand the answers that come to us out of the heavens and how God pours his blessings out upon us. They can't understand it. They don't live in the world where we live. They live in a world of darkness. They live in a world of the sensual. They live in a world of death. They live in a world that finds its joys in creature comforts. They live in a world that has no life in it. And it's not until you understand what it is to have died. Self is gone. Christ has been born and he is being formed in us that you can understand what we're talking about. But there's still more to that cross. It's a big cross you have to bear. You look at this text, he says, no life, a big cross. But it's the cross which involves the awful scandal of the gospel. The scandal of this gospel. You believe and you preach that Jesus Christ shed his blood for your sins. That's scandal. It's a stumbling block. It's foolishness. It's contrary to the wisdom of this world. And the wise men of this world don't understand. And when you believe that your eternal destiny and the estate which you will have throughout all the ages of eternity depend upon the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ, it's an awful offense to this world. Do you know that this world hates the gospel?
You know, this world turns in the most terrible forms of persecution against those who would preach the gospel. Isn't it interesting that the world doesn't like the thing that'll help it the most? But that's the way it is. It's always been that way. It always will be that way because the world loves its sin. The world loves darkness better than light. And when anybody comes along with the light, they try to put the light out.
I've been very interested myself in these last weeks as we were out in these great campaigns against the Russians, you know. And now I've been interested in seeing the reactions that are coming. And the thing that amazes me is that instead of the opposition looking up and say, well, here, there's some facts. And this man Nicodem was over here, and he praised the Soviet system and said it was a new dynamic society. Instead of looking at these things, they just let them fall to the side. They don't talk about them anymore. And they begin to attack the man who was pointing out the terrible things to them. It's the strangest way this whole world's mixed up. The men who are going to point out the dangers, they become the danger. The men who are going to warn us of impending trouble and disaster, they become the troublemakers. Now, it has always been that way. And it'll never be any different until the Son of God comes and takes us out and gives us our rewards in heaven. It's the order of this present evil age that hates the light. And that light is in Jesus Christ. Why, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, else would my servants fight. And then when Pilate asked him, thou art the king, he says, I am, and to that end was I born, that I might bear witness of the truth. And it's the truth of the Son of God which you have received, and because you have that truth, you bear a cross for it. But may I take you one step further? Not only is this offense of the cross, but, oh, beloved, Jesus Christ said that when you become identified with me and your eye is gone and I've come in, then the hatred of the world for me will be vented against you. He says, as is the Son of Man, so also are ye. If they have hated me, they will hate you. And the servant is not above his Lord. And when you say, Lord, I will deny myself, and Jesus Christ comes in to be your life and your all, then the cross is that the world hates the Son of God. Yes, the spirit of Antichrist, it's here. It's even now in the world. And as we see the consummation of the age and we see the old devil gathering his cohorts to build his final great kingdom, this spirit of Antichrist is going to vent itself against the humble, simple believer in Jesus Christ. Just because you're identified with Christ, the world hates you, and it will. I'm so thankful that the Lord has shown us this unfolding of these realities, because it's a great comfort. Because a lot of people, you know what they say? Well, I'm willing to be a sunshine Christian, but I'm not going to be one that gets into trouble. And I'm going to see that I just don't get into trouble. And I wish we had a pastor that never got into trouble either. And we just have the sweetest, quietest, kindest little type of church. You see? Oh, no, beloved. These Christians who want to shirk from the bearing of the cross. These Christians who want to step back from the responsibility which they have of following the Lamb whithersoever he leadeth. Beloved, they come under this condemnation of the Son of God that they are not worthy of me. Now, I told you as I opened this outline for you that your cross couldn't be his cross. And his cross couldn't be your cross. But I can tell you this, that the cross which the Lord Jesus Christ bore
was greater than any you'll ever be asked to bear. And the one which he bore with the help and the grace of God was a cross that got him victory because he arose from the dead. And if you'll bear your cross and not shrink from it, if you'll bear the cross and not throw it down, if you'll bear that cross, God will give you victory in that cross. And he will give you a peace and a joy and a delight in the service of Jesus Christ. That's what happens when you have a king. I wanted to develop this concept of doulos as you find it here in the New Testament, but I won't develop it today. You know, the old word in the Greek world for slave was doulos, the galley slave. The slave that was down at the bottom of the boats at the galleys, roaring, pulling the oars and moving the ships across the Mediterranean. The lowest, most despicable kind of slavery was doulos. And when the Apostle Paul, in the New Testament Koine Greek, begins to write of his relationship to Jesus Christ, do you know what he calls himself? A doulos, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. And when you get that close to him, when you get some completely bound down to his orders and into his kingdom, then you will find your life and your joy in serving Jesus Christ. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and that follow me. Follow me. Following Jesus. We sing it rather flippantly, don't we? But it's the most terrible thing that any man's called upon today. No king ever demanded the allegiance that Jesus Christ demands. No earthly leader of any kind has ever demanded the allegiance that the Son of God demands. And no man, no king who ever demanded it found his servants and his subjects more ready to give it than the Christian is to give it to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ takes the members of his kingdom and gives them life. Not money, not position. He gives them life. And he promises that when the life is over, that they shall receive a reward at his hands in glory. That is what he has promised. When I think about this Christian admiral, and I think how it represents to us the work of Christ. Beloved, everything we're doing right now, this broadcast, this radio, our mission, our church, everything we're doing represents the work of Christ to us, and we're doing it because of our commitment to Jesus Christ, that's all. There's no reason why we're involved in all these things. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, beloved, when you get a vision of serving Christ and building his kingdom and doing the thing which is going to help preserve our country so we can preach the gospel, money's nothing. What the Lord Jesus Christ wants is you. Follow me. Now, beloved, this is the spirit that men like David Livingstone had. And I was so riled recently when I think I read it in one of the communist publications out of Africa. We said that David Livingstone went to Africa as a tourist. No, beloved, David Livingstone didn't go to Africa as a tourist. He went there as a man who had denied himself. He went there as a man who'd taken up his cross. He went there as a man to open up that black continent that these people might hear the good name of Jesus Christ. And when he came to die, he asked that they take his heart out. And they bury it in Africa. And you can go yonder to Westminster Abbey, the great shrine of the Protestants in London, and stand there as I've done right there before that marker that indicates that David Livingstone's heart was buried in Africa. He was there in Africa. He gave his life. He gave everything he had to the Son of God.
And beloved, that's what every one of us should do. Every one of us. Give everything we have to the Son of God. Thou art a king, thou sayest. To this end was I born. And for this purpose came I into the world, that I might build a kingdom, and that I might bear witness of the truth. And everyone who is of the truth heareth my words. Palm Sunday ought to be a day of tremendous dedication on the part of the people of God to the Son of God. It should be a time when we look into our hearts and say, I'm a child of the King. And he said, if you would come after me, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. And when I see these precious young people singing in our choir here, and I go down to the Admiral, I see these precious children coming around, playing around, looking up and rejoicing at what's doing. I look at their precious little lives and I say, oh, young girl, young son, young man, make this decision early in your life. Make this decision early in your life. And then no matter what happens on this earth, you follow Jesus Christ. Follow him whithersoever the Lamb shall lead. And then when the little story's ended, and it's such a short story to tell anyhow, you will be received into the presence of this one who is indeed the King of Kings, and you will hear him pronounce those words of faithfulness upon you, and you will receive a reward for the deeds that you've done in your flesh. We could get along with an awful lot of things that we now have if we wanted to serve the Son of God aright. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank thee that the love of God is clean and pure, that the devotion of the heart of a redeemed man to his Savior is beyond all description. And we thank thee for these great men in the history of the church who counted everything lost, save for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. And now take this great congregation on Palm Sunday, our Lord. And wilt thou bring out of it the missionaries we want to see go forth, the young men into the gospel preaching to occupy our pulpits when we are taken away. Bring out of it, our Father, those who will go into the business world and make successes and use their means to build the Church of Christ aright. Bring out of it, Father, those who will make any sacrifice thou dost call upon us to make in order that we might be obedient to the Son of God. We thank thee for the gospel, the simplicity of this message of faith, that whosoever shall believe shall be saved and born into this kingdom of God. Bless our hearts. For Christ's sake, amen. Hymn number 157, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let angels prostrate fall.